In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Typically on the fourth Sunday of the Holy Great Fast, we're accustomed to hearing the Gospel of the Samaritan Woman. But because today the Church celebrates for us the Feast of the Cross, we'll catch up with the Samaritan Woman in the Holy 50 days, God willing. Today the Church celebrates the glorious feast, which is the Feast of the finding of the Holy Cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, we can speak a lot about the cross and what it means. And I'll begin by quoting what St. Paul said of the cross in today's Pauline epistle. He says, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." To us who are being saved, it is the power of God because the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ was the means of our reconciliation with Him. As St. Paul says to the Ephesians, he says that He might reconcile both to God in one body through the cross, whereby putting to death the enmity. He's speaking here about the Jews and the Gentiles, that through the cross, He's putting to death the enmity between the two, between those who are of the people of God and those who don't know God. Why? Because they all are forming together the new church in the body of Christ on the cross. And it's through this cross that the Lord accomplished this salvation. And also, the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, upon it He tore the handwriting of our sins. Listen to this expression as St. Paul says to the Colossians in chapter 2, verse 14. He says, "Having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and He has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross." Why does St. Paul choose the verbiage here, the handwriting of requirements that was against us? A person's handwriting is something that they own themselves and something that they do with their own hand. So what is he saying here? That the result of sin was something that was done by the will of man. By man's own will, his own handwriting, he's made for himself the sentence of death because he disobeyed God. So when Christ came, he came to do what? To wipe out that handwriting that we wrote of requirement, which is death, because he who eats, if you eat of the fruit of the tree, you shall surely die. The penalty of sin is death. That was against us, but then he says, which was contrary to us. Which was contrary to us. Meaning what? This is not what God intended for you and me when he created us. He intended us to be in his image and goodness. But we messed up, he came back and wiped that handwriting away by the cross. Also through the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, he gives us grace-filled gifts and all the heavenly blessings. It's through the cross that we have the Eucharist, and through the cross that we have the sacraments in the church. All of the means of graces were given to us through the cross. But this is the cross of Christ. Is there potentially another cross? Listen to what the Lord Christ says in Luke chapter 9. He says, "Then he said to all of them," or them all the people that were following him, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me." Take up his cross daily and follow me. So actually, Christ now is speaking of a cross, not that he is carrying, but that you and I are supposed to carry, and not carry once, but what? But daily. So this is what I like to speak about today, is what is this cross? What does this cross of mine mean? And what is it that I have to carry? What is my personal cross? An Orthodox father, Theophan the Recluse, said the following. He says, "When the personal cross of each of us is united with Christ's cross, the power and effect of the latter is transferred to us and becomes, as it were, a conduit through which every good gift and every perfect gift is poured forth upon us from the cross of Christ." So he says, when our personal cross is united to the cross of Christ, then we have this connection between our cross and his cross, and we get all of the blessings and all of the good gifts that come along with his victory on the cross. So this seems to say that there's more to the cross than simply believing that Christ died upon it, that he was incarnate from a virgin, that he rose from the dead after he was crucified. There seems to be something more to Christianity than simply believing these events that happened to the Lord Christ. It seems to me that our cross is equally as essential as the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. So what is our cross? There are three types of crosses that we can carry. And it's essential that we carry one of these crosses. Each one of us, our circumstance might be different. We might have a different cross, but all the more, we should all be carrying a cross. The first cross is the outward cross. And this outward cross is the cross of trials and tribulations. And these are all the things that come to a person throughout this life. Could be the sorrow that we go through. Could be the misfortunes that we incur through this life. It could be the loss of loved ones and friends. It could be our own personal failures, whether it be in school and work or in any means of our life. It could be a deprivation that I have. I cannot attain something that I desire. It could be a trouble in the family. It could be an adversity related to any outward circumstance. This cross can also be insults that might come to me from other people. It could also be offenses when people offend me or I'm offended at others. And it could be a wrongful accusation that is placed upon me. All of these things are the crosses that come to us externally, from the outside. And it's characteristic about these crosses that it's universal to all of us. This cross doesn't distinguish between a person's position in their career. You know, if this was the case, then we might say the president is free from this. But if you just turn on the news, he's the first one that's being mocked and ridiculed. This cross is not kept from the rich. It's not kept from those of honor. It's not kept from those who are holy or spiritual. There's no earthly greatness that could keep one from this type of cross. So you might ask, why does God allow us to experience this kind of difficulty or this kind of cross? And I think it's to make us uncomfortable. Uncomfortable with the place that we're living. St. Paul referred to this body as a tent. And he took this from our father Abraham, who was a tent dweller. No matter where he went, he dwelt in the tent. And those of us who attended Bible study, and the English Bible study, we're studying Genesis, know what this tent means. This tent means that we move around. We don't live here. When somebody goes and spends the night in a tent, they don't intend to live there forever. But this is just a place as I'm journeying through whatever place that I'm going. So maybe God allows us to go through these difficulties lest we get comfortable with this world and not want to leave to the better. You know, it's kind of like a taxi. You know, we all have our cars that we drive here to church, and we have different appointments in the cars. We have heated seats, we have the dimming windows, we have all sorts of little bells and whistles that we've gotten accustomed to and that we like in our cars. But suppose today you're at the airport and need a ride home and you get into a taxi. And the taxi doesn't have vents in the back, it only has them in the front. The seats aren't heated, the windows don't tint or anything. When we're sitting in the taxi, are we like saying, why doesn't this car have this? No, we're just sitting in there, said, just get me home safely, right? Why? Because the taxi is temporary. It's taking us from point A to point B. We don't care how the taxi driver, you know, makes his car look and appeal. This is the same with you and not with what God wants to do with us. He wants us to feel like in this world we're in a taxi, going to heaven, not caring about all of the appointments in the world. If you consider our father and mother, Adam and Eve, when they disobeyed God's commandment, they suffered the consequences of their disobedience, which was death, sorrow, and sickness. And this was something that all of humanity now will experience because of the broken bond between Christ, or between God and man, before the cross. So we can say that the outward cross are the difficulties of a moral life outside of the paradise that we were created in. The difficulties of a moral life. If I were to say immoral life, then we deserve the things that come to us, right? If somebody lives an immoral life and contracts some kind of disease, then this is a result of his immorality. But now I'm saying all of these external crosses that come upon me are because I'm, even when I'm living a moral life, I experience them. These are these external crosses. We spoke, Buna spoke yesterday during the funeral prayers and said that it's very difficult for us to know why, because we don't know the mind of God. But we can say there are potentially some maybe reasons why based on some scriptural occurrences. Maybe sometimes God will allow us to go or to carry different crosses, maybe to wash away a particular sin, maybe to lead us away from a particular sinful deed, maybe to cover up a greater sorrow with a smaller sorrow, and maybe give us an occasion for patience and for demonstrating our faithfulness to the Lord. And we see this in the example of Job. Job wasn't tried because he was an unrighteous man, but he was tried because he was righteous, that his light might be placed on the housetop, or on the mountain, that his light might come show forth before all people. They may see his good works and glorify his Father in heaven. And ultimately, this is what happened. Job and his possessions and his children were restored to him more than before, and it was through his prayers that his friends received forgiveness. Sometimes if we can't clearly see what God wants to give you and me through a particular hardship or sorrow that is overwhelming us, we need to raise our eyes to the Lord in firm belief that whatever He gives to me is good, and I can learn from it and grow from it. This is the outward cross, the first cross that some are called to carry. The second is the inward cross, the inward cross. And this is the cross that struggles against the passions that we have. Listen to what St. Paul says to the Galatians. He says, "And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires." Those who are Christ, who belong to Christ, which would be those who call ourselves Christians, right? Christians means the people of Christ. So this would be you and I. Those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. This is the cross on which the passions are crucified. So what does it mean to crucify the passions? Crucifying the passions means to weaken the passions, to suppress the passions, and to uproot the passions altogether. And this is no easy feat. Anybody who's went down the path of trying to maybe quit smoking, or somebody trying to quit some kind of addictive behavior, this is not easy. And we often need external intervention. We need people to help us. We need people to guide us. We need support systems. We need maybe different types of medicine and so on. So this is not an easy feat by any means. If I could summarize, there are many passions, and I believe during one of the revivals of St. Mary, we spoke about them. But I think the culprit of the passions is the love of oneself, self-love. And I'm not referring here or speaking here about value, because we are called to value our life because Christ valued you and I's life, because He died for it and found it valuable enough to give Himself for it. So we value ourselves because our value comes from God. But then the love of the self. What do I mean by the love of the self? I mean by not giving the self the priority of pleasure. Not giving the self the priority of pleasure. Meaning that I give my pleasure the priority. I put my pleasure and my comfort before anything else. This is the love of the self. If you allow me, I'll give you the example of Abraham. When him and Lot were in Haran, and their possessions became too great. Abraham, out of the kindness of his heart, said to Lot, "You look at the land and choose the land that you desire." So Lot looked around and saw the land of Sodom and Gomorrah as the land flowing with milk and honey. And he said to himself, "I'll choose that land." And Abraham told him, "If you go right, I'll go left. If you go left, I'll go right. I'll go the opposite direction." And if we look at this, what is Abraham doing? What was in Sodom and Gomorrah? Was the pleasures of the eye, the passions. We know later all of the atrocities that were happening in this horrendous city and all the sin that was happening there. And this is where Lot chose to go, unwisely. So Abraham says, "I'm going to deny the passions and go the opposite direction." Lot, you're going to go with the passions, I'm going to go in the opposite direction. And you know what God did after Lot left? He told him, he said to him what? He says, "Abraham, lift up your eyes now and look from the place where you are. Look north, look south, look east, and look westward." What does that make? The cross, right? It makes the sign of the cross. So because Abraham chose to renounce the passion, wherever he was going was blessed by the cross. And the same will be for you and I. When we take up this cross of fighting against the passion, wherever we go, the blessing of the cross will be with us because we chose to leave the passions and fight against them and proceed to the cross. Also, it's only through the cross that we receive communion and unity with Christ. St. Paul says to the Philippians, he says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. So he says, I have fellowship with his suffering. His fellowship with his suffering, how? Are we going to be crucified on a cross? Maybe, like some of the apostles. But if not, then I take up either the outward cross, which we spoke about, or the inward cross, the cross that fights against the passions. Again, Theophan the Recluse says the following, "Anger burns, envy dries one up, lust feebles one, miserliness does not let one eat or sleep, and offended pride murderously eats away at one's heart. Everyone has them. As soon as there is self-love, there are all the passions, and this is the mother of passions, the self-love." That's why Christ said, if anyone wants to come after me, let him deny himself. This denying himself is carrying the cross of the passions. I'm going to crucify my passions on this cross. So what are we to do if this is the path that we want to take? It's to begin to fight against the passions and contradict them in every way that I can. And like I said, this is going to be a battle. This is going to be a fight. Because the natural inclination of man is to indulge in the passions. That's why, if you remember what St. Paul said to the Hebrews, he says, "You have not yet resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin." So you mean to tell me, St. Paul, that my striving against sin might actually shed blood? Yes. Oftentimes, those who struggle against sin look like they're being crucified on the cross. They might have a mind that is so stressed. You know, if you talk with somebody who's addicted to any kind of drug or behavior, their mind is spinning and going crazy, especially if they can't have this drug. It's like a crown of thorns on their head. If somebody is addicted to any other type of sin, you might find some physical manifestation which makes them look like they're being beaten or tormented. Then the Lord teaches us another principle. When he says, if your hand causes you to sin, what should you do? He says, cut it off. He could have said, tie it behind your back, put it in handcuffs, hide it somewhere. But he says, cut it off. And this is very dramatic. But Christ meant it, because sometimes these passions, or oftentimes these passions, take dramatic measures. If my phone is causing me to sin, cut it off. Take away my phone? Are you serious? No way. That would be the end of my social life. Ya haram. What did we do back in the day before the phones? We still had a social life. We spoke to each other face to face. Right? Sometimes it takes drastic measures, and we have to be willing to take them if we want to carry this cross. The last and final cross is the spiritual cross. And maybe the other two are a preparation for this one. The spiritual cross is the devotion of oneself to the true will of God. The devotion of oneself to the true will of God. And we can look at maybe the example of the Lord Christ Himself being fully human and fully divine in the Garden of Gethsemane. He prays in his humanity to the God the Father and says, "Oh my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." So here he's giving up the human desire to flee or to avoid the suffering, but he willfully places his human will under that of the Father. And this is what it means to be fully bound to Christ and crucifying the flesh in the cross. And that's why St. Paul again says, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." And this is the height of Christian perfection, where I can crucify my own will and deny myself to follow his will. And actually, if you look at this, this will be the beginning of every one of our resurrection. At the end of time, what's going to happen when Christ comes? He'll come on the cloud and all of us will be gathered and united with him and then presented to the Father. So this unity with him can begin now. This unity with him can begin now. How? When I make my will his will. When I unify my will with his will. That God will be all in all. Bear with me for a moment. I'll read for you another quote from Theophan the Recluse. I try to paraphrase it, but I can't say it quite as good as he does. So I will say it. I'll read it for you. He says, "Many have the idea that Christianity is the same as other kinds of life, but this is not so. Christianity," he says, "it begins with repentance, ripens through the fight against passions, and is perfected when the pure inner man immersed in God is crucified with Christ. If Christians do not have pleasures, that they are purely incidental." So he's saying if we don't have any pleasures, they are purely incidental. "The most distinguishing characteristics of their existence are suffering and sickness, inward and outward, voluntary and involuntary." This is it. This is what characterizes you and I as the cross. And then he says, "We must through much tribulation enter the kingdom and into that which is within it." This actually is a quote from the book of Acts. "If you want good for yourself, get rid of pleasures and enter on the path of the cross of repentance. Burn up in the fire of self-crucifixion, be tempered in tears of heartfelt contrition, and you'll become gold or silver or a precious stone, and in due time you'll be taken by the heavenly householder as an adornment for his most bright and most peaceful mansion." So when we crucify the self, then we will become like this gold and precious silver that will adorn the mansion in the house of God when he comes again. We all have a cross to carry, my beloved brethren. We all have a cross to carry. And it's eternally significant that we can carry a cross. Choose one of these three crosses and carry it. And to be honest with you, We have to carry something. We have to carry something. We have three crosses: the outward, the inward, and the spiritual. What happens if we choose not to carry any one of these? We must carry something. And what we will carry will be the things of the world. Christ came to offer us the cross to carry. If we don't carry the cross, Satan will offer us the things of the world to carry. I pray that none of us in the time of our calling will be caught carrying the things of the world and not the cross which we should be carrying. May God grant us during this holy and the remainder of this holy great fast to choose for us a cross to carry and do it with all diligence, that we might be united not only in his suffering, but ultimately in his glory and in his majesty in the age to come. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen.